In today's Mishnah, so in the fourth and fifth Mishnah, in the second parak of Masechta Eidot, the Mishnah begins, Shlosha Dvarim Amar Rabbi Yishmael Lifnei Chachamim Bekerem Yavna. So there are three halachas that Rabbi Yishmael said in front of the Chachamim in Yavna. It was referred to as Kerem Yavna because they were seated, the Rabbanim, they were seated in rows in a configuration much like a vineyard. The first is Al Beitza Trufa. This is referring to a scrambled egg, Shehayin Rutuna, that's in a pot and it's on top of Yarak Shel Truma, say a vegetable which is Truma. And Mishnah says, according to that, it is shehi chibur. This is a halacha, that they are considered attached. Now this is important from the laws of Tumah. So the case here is where someone who is touching the scrambled egg with stam yadayim. So the hands are sheni latumah. Now sheni latumah doesn't make normal food tameh, cannot make it tameh. However, it can transfer impurity to trumah. It can make it a shlishi latumah. So in this situation, the person is only touching the scrambled egg. The law that by saying that they are considered attached, it is considered as if the person is touching the vegetable of Truma directly, and therefore is making it pasul. The im haitak min kova, if however the egg was, say, puffed up over it, so there was air in between and it was acting more like a kova, like a hat, then eino chibur, then they're not considered attached, and by touching the vegetable, it wouldn't affect the vegetable at all, and certainly wouldn't, since it's not considered attached to the Truma, now it wouldn't affect the Truma. Next is Val Shibolet Shabakatsir. He's referring to someone who's harvesting wheat. And one of the stalks, he missed it, he left it out. The question is that stalk now considered like shichacha, that it has to be left for the poor? So Mishnah says, if it's Verosha Magia Lakama, if you could bend it over such that it could touch the uncut wheat, and also Imnikatsarit Ima, and if it can be cut along with it, and it's harvested this one stalk along with the other stand, the yet to be cut standing wheat, then harei shel balabait, it's not defined as shichacha, and the balabait can take it, harvest it, and take it along with him. However, v'im lav, if not, meaning it's too far away, harei shel anim, the balabait is not allowed to touch it, it's considered shichacha, like we learned back in Masechta Pei, and has to be left for the poor. The third halach is as follows, valginak tanashi mukefet aris. There are two different explanations exactly what this is. I can explain like the Bartanur, which is also like the Ravid, and the Rambam, however, the Mishnah Torah explains slightly differently. And that is, this situation is where we're dealing with a gina, a garden patch that is fenced off, and in it we have an aris, which is a trellised vine running through the middle. And the question is, can I plant other vegetables in this garden patch, or will it look too mixed such that it appears like kilayin? So just for your own interest, for the Rambam is actually the one who says this actually goes around the outside. The garden patch is actually surrounded by this trellised vine, but I'm going to explain it like I said originally. So the Mishnah says, even yesh kemolo botzer v'salo mikan or melo botzer v'salo mikan, if there's space on either side of this vine such that the harvester could stand there with his basket, so that's 2 amot width, then tizra, then you can leave a small gap that's required, so which is shisha tfachim, a gap of 6 tfachim, and then plant the remaining region. V'im lav, if there's not that amount of space, meaning that not 2 amot on each side of this vine that's going through the center of this garden patch, we say lo tizra, you would not be able to plant in it. Even though theoretically you could leave a 6 tfachim gap and there might be still some remainder, still you cannot because the area is too small. It all looks like it's part of this kerem, and then it would appear like kilayim. Let's now learn Mishnah Hay. Mishnah begins, Shoshad v'im amru lifnei Rabbi Yishmael. The Talmidim asked Rabbi Yishmael, the students asked Rabbi Yishmael 3 questions, v'lo ma behem lo iso v'heter. And there was a doubt regarding the ruling until Uperishan Rabbi Yoshua ben Matya, until Rabbi Yoshua ben Matya came and clarified the matter. The first is Hamafis Mursa b'Shabbat. So here we're dealing with someone who has a pussy wound. And what he wants to do is he wants to open this wound. So it depends what his motivation is, sort of wants to pop it. We say Im la'asot la'peh, if his intention is just to make an opening to help in the healing process, then we say he'd be chayav, because of it's like the malacha of boneh. However, im lohotzi mimenu lecha, if he's doing it simply to release some of the pus, to relieve him of pain, in that situation we say patur. Why is he patur? It's actually, it's mutar lechachil, he's able to do that, ideally he's allowed to do it. It's not even bidyavad. So why is he allowed to do that? This is because the fact that he's creating this petach, this opening, is a malacha tzentzerich l'gufa. He's not interested in the opening. He's interested in extracting the pus. And because there's also an element of tsar, pain that he's enduring if he doesn't open up this pussy wound, that's why chachamim allowed in this case. The second is va'al hatzad nachash b'shabbat. If someone hunts a snake on Shabbat, it depends what his intention is. If he's doing so that it will not bite him, then patur he is and mutar as well, because once again it's malacha she'ino tzricha lagufa. In other words, he's not interested in doing active trapping, he just doesn't want this snake to harm him. V'im l'refuah, if he actually wants to trap this animal because he wants to extract the venom for medicinal purposes, then he's actually doing the malacha now of tzad of trapping, and it would be chayav. He would have done a malacha on Shabbat. He would be liable to korban if it was by mistake, or skill if it was won. Next is lefasim ironiot. What they would do, they would make a ball, a hollow ball made out of clay. After they're fired in the furnace, then they would either cut it in half to create two balls, or to simply take the top off. And while it's still in that ball shape, the Mishnah says, Shen torot bo'ohel amet, that if they're inside an ohel amet, meaning if they're the same covering as a corpse, now normally everything that ohel amet would become tameh, then the Mishnah says that they are torot, they're tahor. Why? Because it's a bit like the case we saw recently, which of a kli cheres, an earthen utensil that is completely sealed tight. Since the tumah cannot get to being inside it, and by kli cheres, earthen utensils, that would mean it would stay tahor, because it's completely sealed. If it was open, then this kli cheres would be tameh. But at this state, since it's still in that ball shape, it's sealed tight. However, utme'ot b'masa hazav, meaning if a zav, and we referred to this previously as a man who's had abnormal emissions, if the zav actually moves this, he can transfer tumor onto it, and that would become tamer. So just to be clear, this wasn't the tumor ishkav that we were referring to a few days ago. This is nistoma referred to tumat heset, the fact that he's moving the item, he would be able to make it tamer. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Sadok says, no, af b'masa, even if the zav moved this item, he would not make it tameh. Why? Mipnei shelo nigmara malachtan. Because since it hasn't been cut in half, it's not considered a finished kli, a finished utensil, and therefore, since it's not a finished utensil, it's not susceptible to tumah. However, the first opinion, just to appreciate it, he says, despite the fact it hasn't been cut in half, since it's already been fired in the furnace, that's considered the gemara malacha, that's considered the completion of the malacha, and therefore the zav can already make it tameh by moving it, even if he has not cut this kli in half yet. That is the Mishnah today.